No, I didn't.
You went with your Frenchie. Mm-hmm.
How many years have you put in?
Had 17 points.
Excellent.
Is this on the other side of the divide?
You're going to have to start swimming and get in shape.
I think we're going to go in and go up to Three Forks Park and then up Taurus Creek. It looks like what the plan is.
You got Saxton helping you?
Mm-hmm.
You got it, man.
Who's taking you?
Not really taking me. He's going to go with
Who's
me.
Who's going with
Casey.
Saxton. Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, never You're mind. You're okay.
And I think Gaffney.
Oh, very good.
Casey said, fine. At least two other really dumb guys that we can pack a lot of stuff on.
Excellent.
I'll make a motion.
Yeah. All in favor of going with Bart. All right. We've called the meeting back to order. It's 1 o'clock, and it's time for planning and zoning.
We only have one item on today's agenda, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, and that is a minor subdivision with Jim and Suzanne Greenwood as the applicants. This is for a 16.97-acre parcel with 5-acre zoning already in place. And with this proposal, they'll split that 16.97 acres into a 5-acre and an 11.97-acre lot. There are already houses in development in this area. In fact, the 5-acre lot has a large shop or accessory structure on it. This was heard by the Planning Commission at the April meeting. It's a pretty straightforward application. No issues with it. It's been reviewed by the county surveyor. We've got a title report. Everything is in order. The only anomaly with this is for 20-plus years, the county hasn't required a conservation district review on minor subdivisions. Statute actually requires a conservation district review on all subdivisions, so this is the first minor that they've ever reviewed. Again, they didn't have any issues with it either. I kind of summarized their review in the staff report. So with that, the recommendation of staff and the Planning Commission is for approval.
And that's what it will look like?
That's what it looks like now.
The
5 acres kind of splits along
splits
that fence line. Yep, I have a plat here so everyone can see.
Okay, so it comes down, it'll split down that fence line?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. This is
that's what it looks like now.
That's what it looks like now. And then the split is just cutting that 5 off.
Do you know where that's at?
Oh, I see.
And it is within a mile of Big Piney and Marbleton. And
so it's 5 one side, 11 point whatever the other side.
Yeah, kind of east-west.
So the border is another 5 acre. Middle Piney, North Piney.
It's a little bit before you get into Marbleton.
It's right as you come down. Start to come down Marbleton.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right here. Ivan's deal is right down here.
Oh, okay.
This is that big swamp.
Just past Barney Ball's
house. It's between Marbleton and Big Pine.
Or you go down the hill. Yeah. Down the hill.
You know where Theron Greenwood used to live?
Yeah.
You can see there, Joel. That's the parcel. The yellow is Big Piney, Marbleton. I think you can see the sewer lagoon over here.
Okay.
Somewhere.
This goes back to.
I thought this would be simple. I didn't think I'd need it.
You know.
The future.
Where you going, Bart?
Any comments? Any questions for Bart? Motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded that we approve the minor subdivision approval for the creation of a 5-acre lot and an 11.97-acre lot within the Rural Residential 5 Zoning District for James and Suzanne Greenwood. Any further discussion? All in favor? What's that? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
I think Scott probably has to get out of sign these are.
Mylar, ready to go. I'd love to get signatures quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Clear that out.
Let me give you a real quick update on the WPLI.
Oh, excellent.
They asked Steve Smucco, Ruckel's house, to prepare a flyer, kind of an informational flyer. And this is what they've come up with, and they have
I got one.
Really been distributing theirs. I think I've printed off 250 or so of them.
Cool.
Can you touch base on how they wanted to start trading adjacent lands back and forth?
I'm sorry.
That was what Steve's, let me get this. Format.
And they scheduled field trips for Shoal Creek and Scab Creek. Shoal Creek, they're planning 2 days in July, the 12th and the 13th. And that'll be horseback, bring your own horse.
BYOH?
Yep. Okay. And I think their plan is to, at least for most of the committee, to spend a night somewhere in Bondurant between those two nights. And then after the last night, or the last day field trip, the 13th, they're going to have a town hall at the church in Bondurant. And then Scab Creek, they are planning on September 6th, and that'll be a combination ATV, horseback, and they think they can see that in one day.
Before the hunting season opens?
Yes, and then that evening, after the field trip, they plan on having a town hall meeting at the Boulder Town Hall.
Okay. I won't be able to make the one, but I probably will be able to make the one in September.
Okay. And I'll give you a reminder.
Thank you.
I ran into Dave when Bell, and he said that Steve's Mako brought to the table adjacent lands outside of the Wilderness area that could be traded in and out of the Wilderness proposal.
Steve didn't bring that. That's okay. Something the committee has discussed. They're pretty far along on Lake Mountain, and they have developed an options document with a whole range of options, management options, that they believe are on the table for Lake Mountain. At some point, they'll narrow that down. They'll probably come up with a similar document for all three WSAs, and then start to really drill down and narrow that down. But one of the things the committee did discuss was that perhaps some of Lake Mountain, I believe it's on that eastern side, energy development may be appropriate. So maybe they could swap that out for other BLM lands that have more wilderness characteristics than that. But again, that's just
snowballing.
Just kind of brainstorming and thinking and looking at.
I think it's going to open up another can of worms because everybody's going to start wondering, okay, you're taking this out of wilderness, and now you're putting this in.
And that's it.
Excellent work, Bart. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Bart.
You're welcome.
All right.
About time for a horse, man?
No.
We do for cars.
I make you a heck of a deal.
There you go.
Talk to that guy.
Yeah. I'm renting my seat in the ATV. I'm scared for it.
All right. Andre, come on up.
What are you doing, Andre?
Not too bad. I'll be pretty quick. I just...
Quick's good.
Yeah, I just... Here's a... around. That's our trailer that we have right now, our flatbed. And we use it quite a bit. And it's in pretty bad shape. It is rated to haul our skid steer. I was looking at it, but I wouldn't put it on there.
Not the way it is.
No. And, I mean, it's in pretty bad shape. So I got some estimates on a couple of different trailers. This one's quite a bit more expensive than the one I really want anyway. And the one thing that we do haul on it more than anything is that scissor lift. Mm-hmm. And when you take it up that thing and it's a tilt deck, they don't go down slow.
No.
And when you're standing up on that thing and it comes hammering down, it's a bit scary. And we're just looking at wanting to get a new trailer. And this one here is, you know, a few thousand more.
And that's not really the one you want.
No, this is the one we want, and I put a picture with it, too. And it's Billy's got one of these, and he really likes it. And it's got a hydraulic deal on the back that we can put that thing on and then raise it up and then just...
Drive it on.
Yeah, and we can put the skid steer on there. We can put that scissor lift. We can put a full-size truck on it if we need to, you know, if we break down. And we drive some pretty old trucks. So. Mm-hmm. And then it'll have a winch on it. It's got a toolbox in the front, and it really has everything we we're looking for. And and so we do a lot of pallets too. So
is this trailer something that we can put in on an auction then?
I would probably, Billy said if we got one, we'd like to, if we took it over there, he'd put some work into it. And
oh, and use it at Road and Bridge?
Or we'd keep it and try and use it for some other things too.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
No.
You mentioned to me earlier when we talked about this, you already had this in your budget.
Yeah, so I purposely, we knew we wanted this trailer early in the year, but I purposely tried to save money for it.
Okay.
In our tool equipment and tool budget.
Think you could do that in your current budget?
Oh yeah,
okay.
I mean easily.
Okay.
We really kind of watched our spending on that one.
Good.
Special just for that.
Okay.
So
sounds good.
So when you say that this trailer, you made reference to Billy. So the county has a trailer like this already.
Yeah, he has one that he
but
uses.
But there's no way we can. It just doesn't work because they could be using it at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, there's one piece of equipment that we don't have a lot of room at our place, so we really don't need much equipment there. We don't want it because we don't have room, but we do keep a trailer there because we use it quite a bit.
Very good.
I mean, especially with the scissor lift, it's always going somewhere.
Sure.
So.
Okay. And the fact that Billy could work on this and use it, that'd
yeah.
be good.
Yeah, we don't want to get rid of it. It's just,
no.
I can't, it's not good for the scissor lift, definitely not good for the skid steer, and you can't put a truck on it.
What's this one rated?
That's 16,000. And I think that one's 15.2. I couldn't believe it, but.
Hmm.
This looks like it has a box, I mean a tube frame.
Yeah, these are custom made. That's what these guys do, and I think that's why it's so much cheaper than this other one. Because this one is only rated for 14,000.
So. In my experiences, I've seen skid steers bend a lot of trailers. They're similar to the one you're getting rid of. So
yeah,
I guess if you're going to purchase one, make sure that it's one that's not going to get bent.
Yeah, no, I mean, our skid steer is 12,000 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm looking at that one is because Billy really liked it and said it's a good trailer, so.
So you're saying in your budget right now, you could buy that tomorrow because you have the money.
Yes.
It's not something that you're going to come
No, I'm just step. Asking if it's okay that I do it. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Are you cutting into the budget for the floor?
No. That's isolating the budget. I'll get you that one. You can look
you
at
go.
It.
Okay.
I have to get my rubber in.
I'm just under budget on that one.
Any further questions, discussion for Andre then on that one? Yeah. Go ahead, Andre.
We're good.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Sure.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks, Andre.
Thanks.
Appreciate
Andre.
That.
You guys have a good day.
You bet. Our next appointment, I asked Mary to postpone that to our next meeting so we can do the liquor license renewals along with when we implement the new liquor laws.
When there's a bunch.
What's that? Yeah.
There's a bunch of new laws.
Yeah, so at our next meeting, we'll go ahead and renew the liquor licenses at the same time that we go through the new liquor laws make a plan to implement that, right?
Now, Mr. Chairman, I plan to, there's three items that will be on our resolution, and this is all kind of new territory. We've always followed state statute for regulations about hours of operation and those types of things. And the legislature this year stripped all that stuff out of the law. So those hours are to be set locally and that type of thing. We've done work already with the county attorney's office to be in compliance with the towns. We've asked, you know, we're trying to play everybody together because there would be issues if our town hours were different than, say, the county hours were. So we've done a lot of conversation with the three towns to make sure that we're all going down the same road on the same piece of paper. So we're going to have that hearing. I plan to invite our dealers to that meeting just so that they know what those are going to be, what those new rules will be. Not a big impact right now since we're renewing our licenses ahead of July 1 because the new laws go into effect July 1. There'll be some change next year's renewals on applications and those types of things, which you guys won't see. But our dealers right now are all in compliance. Their applications have all been approved by the state, so they're just waiting for us to bless them. But I would like to, you know, also have that hearing so that they will know what the new requirements are going to be, because there's three things that are on there. Basically, it's hours of operation, what we will allow for a retail license who operates seasonally. There's new rules for retail licenses so that they cannot park a license. They've had the ability to not operate for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Now they say that full retail licenses have to operate once a week, but we have a little bit of leeway because a couple of our retail licenses operate seasonally, so they'll shut down for a month, for instance. So we, you know, we want to make sure that those dealers know what the deal is with that. And then there's an issue about kids, and they allow minors in operations that have restaurants, and so we have to set an hour for that. But so it's pretty simple for that. There's a few rules that we don't have to deal with that the dealers or the permittees are going to have to be concerned about. One of them being, and I believe, if you're a malt beverage dealer, which we have a couple, they have to buy a certain amount of product. Mm-hmm. Now, where before they didn't have to do that, just full retail guys had to buy a certain dollar amount of product. So anyway, but we'll do all of that at the next meeting. That way they can be on notice that they're coming at them the 1st of July.
And then we can renew our liquor licenses right at the same time.
And we also will have a new permit on that day. We've got a new place. Application for the place.
Yeah.
So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Place is open.
Yeah.
That's Mr. Chairman.
Yes, go
we
ahead.
We had a rather,
I think it's Sterling.
Yeah, it
a lengthy presentation of WCCA on this.
Did you?
And I got all excited and I emailed Mary and discovered that she already had talked to Matt and they already had it under control. So thank you, Mary.
Yeah, you're appreciate
welcome.
That.
Well, part of that was because the Liquor Division held a public meeting here the end of March, and they've had meetings around the state with dealers, and they'd had their meeting here, and so we were pretty aware of what was coming down there. But our panic at that point in time was just making sure that everybody, the deal with hours of operation was a big thing, because hours of operation have been 6 to 2 every day forever, and it would give an entity the opportunity to either expand those or limit them, which creates issues for the other dealers in the community or the other entities in the community.
We just need to make sure we're all on the same page,
right,
and all have the same
all
hours.
All the towns and everything seem to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and they're already, see the towns adopt theirs different than we do because they have to have 3 readings on any ordinance that they should pass. So they're already in the process.
So have the towns already done theirs? Or?
They're working on them right now. They're having those 3 readings.
Okay.
So, yeah, they started it out already.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Any questions on that, gentlemen? Okay. All right, got a few things that I need to go through with you here. First of all, anybody planning on going to the Wyoming Water Update? You're going out to that?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. That's out at the Weed and Pest tomorrow night, right? Okay, excellent. Thank you. Got a letter here from Wyoming Department of Health. The legislature this year amended their Title 25 during their budget session this year to allow the Wyoming Department of Health to designate a single point of responsibility or a gatekeeper for the county, and after consulting the representatives of the county. So this is their consultation with us, and they are recommending High Country Behavioral Health as the gatekeeper. So I'll pass that along to you guys, let you just peruse it real quick. If you don't have any issues with that, I don't even know that we need to adopt that by motion other than just respond to them saying that that sounds good to us.
Yeah, I guess.
They kind of touched base on this at the meeting, and it's an important thing.
Yeah.
Because without the gatekeeper, we can get billed for a lot of things that aren't necessary.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was something that Representative Barlow spoke to the general session about in terms of this, and there is a lot of concern, particularly our neighbors to the south, with Sweetwater and the costs associated with it. But I don't know of anybody. I mean, I think the Southwest Counseling, not Southwest, but High Country Counseling,
yeah,
has filled in that gap before, does a good job, and we don't have an alternative anyways.
So we send our people, Title 25 people, to Rock Springs. Is that where they go?
No. You would have them, the gatekeeper, would be reviewed by High Country Counseling.
Exactly.
And then they would make a determination of whether that could be handled outpatient, whether it could require non-institutional or hospital intervention.
So, Mr. Chairman, though, and I don't know, because this is the first I've heard of this, but our county attorney's office has negotiated these contracts for our Title 25 people,
mm-hmm,
and it would seem that Clay should be the one
maybe he should
this.
Be the county representative. Is that what you're saying?
Well, maybe, but I don't know, because you know our situation's different than most people. We have to ship our people out. We can't leave them here.
That was my question. They leave here. They don't stay.
No.
And High Country doesn't. We don't really have any working relationship with High Country when it comes to Title 25. We're contracted with other folks.
So perhaps we
should.
So
I don't know if that's.
We should investigate this a little more.
Perhaps we should turn this over to Clay and let him go through it a little bit, and then he can advise us.
This has been an ongoing problem for some time in terms of who does the evaluations and assessments. Mm-hmm. And it matters whether they, for instance, walk into the clinic, or whether they are brought into the clinic by law enforcement, and it changes the scenario. But, you know, and looking at the gatekeeper, their High Country alone cannot do all of the Title 25 assessments. And I guess it would be prudent to see what their involvement with the two clinics would be in terms of supplying some of those services. The whole thing from the state or the Department of Health, their intent, I think, is to have looking at somebody that can make a determination as to what might be a reasonable alternative to hospitalization. Because the problem in the past has been they hold an emergency detention here and they straight to Evanston, and Evanston's backed up. And some of these individuals or clients might not be, for lack of a better word, in that dire straits, that might be able to be handled outpatient. And I guess they're looking at High Country to be the coordinator of that. And that's the basis of what I know. But I do think that it would probably be a good thing for Matt to sit down with High Country and maybe see what their understanding of this is, and see if there's what their resources are and what's the protocol in terms of utilizing those resources.
I'm not
talking about the clinic.
I'm not convinced that the Wyoming Department of Health needs our blessing.
Yeah.
On this either.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No, they don't. But what they're saying is, the Department of Health is saying we got to have a gatekeeper for each county.
And this is who we're saying.
And this is who we're picking. And what I'm saying is, there's not another choice.
Right.
Yeah, they're the only game in town.
Right.
We don't have an alternative.
Right, right. So,
but there's a lot of kinks to be ironed out in terms of the actual process.
Why don't we pass that information along to Clay and Matt then? And I guess we don't even need to respond.
Mm-mm. We've just been informed.
We've been informed that that's what they are wanting to do. And I guess we need Clay and Matt to be involved in it. So.
Something that maybe Doc should touch base on is how the state can negotiate the cap on the Title 25, and that come up with the Wyoming Commission Association, how they want to change legislation so that we can also, as counties, negotiate that cap.
And I don't know the ins and outs of that. I do know the state has put a cap on Title 25 services. There's a state charge, so to speak. But part of the problem is in the counties, we may be charged at 4 or 5 times that rate. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, and that's something that Clay or Matt could look into in terms of how do we put ourselves in that position. And that may take something through the legislators to have a statute to try to work that out where we don't get pay the higher rate, that we pay the same rate as the state, because that's what Sweetwater County was having a problem with, was they were being charged, you know, the commissioners were 4 times the rate of what the state would be charged. And right now, our only two options that I'm aware of is either Rock Springs or St. John's in terms of doing Title 25.
I don't recall who, but they said there was going to be some legislation and just, or needs to be. I don't remember who said they was going to support it or back it. Do you? Did they say that? Or?
No, but Eric Barlow's the one. He's the chairman of the House Health, Labor, and Social Services is the one that's spearheading this. So he's worked quite a bit on this. So
okay.
I think we're in good hands there, and him and Albert have a really good working relationship.
If you'll just share that.
I'll
then
share
with
that with Clay.
Yeah, the county attorney's office then. Yeah, it doesn't sound like we need to take any action on that at this time. But, also received a correspondence on the CORA Townsite National Register. I don't know if you guys got an email on that or not. CORA has been placed on the National Parks. CORA Townsite is on the National Register of Historic Places. So they've formally listed the CORA town site on the National Register. This is a letter informing us of such.
Is there really that much left?
What's that?
Is there anything left?
I don't think so. Blacksmith shop.
That's what you say it is.
Yep. Did you get a press release on that, Stephen?
Did not.
You did not.
But I haven't checked my email today. I don't know when it came in, but
I think I got the email on that last week.
Oh, did you?
But
yeah, we haven't seen anything.
You can. I don't think I need to keep that copy.
Yeah, no sweat. Where?
Go ahead and pass that on over to Mr. Crane if you'd like. Don't know if that's
okay.
That should do it. Thank you very much.
Asia. Okay, a couple of other things. Don Cranendonk sent an email out a week or two ago about the Denbury EA, combined EA with BLM for the pipeline going into the plant. That's out, so there'll probably be a 30 or 45 day comment period on that. And that, from what I understand from him, was coming into the plant, not the outgoing part of it. But the part that might be able to get the plant up and running. So that was good news. We'll just hear from him on what type of comments there might be, I guess, after that. Did you have something for us today, or you just come to listen?
I just came to listen to you and get some infinite wisdom from all these.
Boy, did you come to the wrong place. Okay.
You're here probably for our liquor stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We postponed till next meeting.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should still sit here and get wisdom.
Dang it. So, yeah, we're going to address that at our June 6th meeting.
Okay, I'll go ahead. Beans, obviously, you're not busy right at the moment.
Well, we can break. Yeah. Go ahead.
Is it... Because all this liquor stuff has got to be finalized before the 1st of July. Not able to do that this meeting?
Yeah, we're going to do that at our June 6th meeting also.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's why we postponed that, so we could do it all at the same time.
Okay, good deal.
Yep.
And I gather you've been talking to Pinedale and Piney Marbleton, and everybody's getting on the same page.
Talking with the municipalities to make sure we've all got the same hours of operation.
I sure hope so.
So do we.
We hope so.
Yeah. Okay. That's the idea.
Okay. Good deal.
All right. Sounds good.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, you bet.
I didn't know.
You're wise now.
Well, I'm kind of short anyway. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you. And I should have brought this up while Butch was here this morning, and I forgot all about it. Middle Piney Road. So I understand you two have had a little bit of a conversation with Janet Byerman.
Yes.
Janet Byerman called me also. Now, somebody fill me in. She got the idea that the road was supposed to be paved, and
I don't know where she got all that information.
But that's
what she hit us up with. And I told
so we were, you talked with...
I talked to Karen.
Yeah, Karen.
And the idea was to try and get a wider easement.
Right.
Try and get a normal county road easement.
Right.
That doesn't require us to maintain fences.
Right.
And trade for that, Butch wanted to make the offer to fence all the way to the forest boundary.
Right.
And Karen indicated she was interested in discussion.
Right.
She would talk to Janet. Then Janet talked to Bob. And I think what needs to happen, Bob and Janet and Butch and whoever of us want to go, need to go drive that road and figure out what they're willing to do or not do.
If anything. Yeah, exactly. Because the idea I got after talking with Janet is they don't want a fence. They don't want to grant a larger easement. They don't want an improvement on it.
That's a little bit different than what I got from Karen.
But I'm not surprised.
If that is what it is, then we don't have anything to do.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at.
Back probably.
So I spoke to the landowner on the other side of the road.
Okay.
And looking at a perfect world, I said, of course, I'm new at this. I said, talking to Butch, what's the best thing that can happen for the county? He said that this fence gets moved 20 feet. So I went to that landowner and said, what can we do to have you move that fence 20 feet? And if so, I found out that the county does not buy easements,
right,
but we do build fences. Yeah. And so consequently, I said that the county would build the fence all the way up to that corner post. I think you know what I'm talking about. There's a big pipe there, and I don't know how far it is. But since that point in time, I've not heard a word back from that landowner. And so I don't know where we are. And it sounds to me like they all want to just left alone the way it is.
That's the information I get from the Bud side.
Yeah.
Is they don't want anything to happen. They want the easement to stay the way it is. They don't want a fence.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, they really didn't want it magged, but they agreed to it and let it happen. They wanted it just a bare minimum, not a whole lot, washboardy, slow down.
Well, Bob got panicked because there were some stakes out there.
Yeah, and I didn't see the stakes. I have no idea what the stakes
were. That's what she said to us.
Okay, yeah.
I told him, I don't know anything about
it. I wasn't aware of that either.
Yeah, I didn't know.
So at this point, I think I could go ahead and contact Janet and just let her know that nothing is going to take
place. If they don't want anything,
if they don't want anything to take place, nothing is going to
happen because they have a contract.
And that's what I told her. I said, you know, if you don't want anything to happen, I guess we thought that you wanted perhaps a fence or something like that. She said, nope, we don't want a fence. We don't.
So if they didn't want a fence, but I would like to make the attempt to go back to the landowner on the other side of the road and say, you haven't returned my call, or I've seen him several times. Mm-hmm. Are you just not wanting to do anything? And if that's it, we'll be done. Or if he would like to help the county out and scoop that fence over 20 feet, would really help Butch out and plow in snow. But okay. I have no idea. Because if he would do that, it would help everybody. It would help Janet and those guys because they would have a good fence. It would help him out because he would have a good fence.
And the fence would be on his side.
It would be on his. And see, these are things that I never entered into my mind how things work like that.
All right.
But there's only one fence. So yeah. It belongs to the Buds because it's on the Buds'
easement.
On their easement, but it goes through the other landowner's property to it, but only for like 150 feet.
Gotcha.
So, yeah,
okay.
But anyway, I think we'll probably wind up just leaving it the way it is. But okay. I'm going to make an attempt to get it scooted over just for Butch.
Fill us in on what the other landowner has to say.
Absolutely. I can do that.
And in the meantime, I will go ahead and contact Janet and just let her know that
that'll be good.
Nothing else.
Nothing's going on. We're fine.
Okay.
Nothing to do.
Good. All right. Sounds good. And then you can fill us in on if there's any changes there. All right. Excellent. I attended the air quality meeting while you guys were in Gillette. And nothing real earth shaking or earth shattering to talk about on that. Met with the new UW president,
Lori Nichols.
President Nichols, really neat lady. She comes from South Dakota and is all in favor of land grant universities, of course, and big proponent of the extensions. And at this point, all indications to continue funding extensions are in place. So,
There was a proposal to try to consolidate the extension agents. Is that kind of off the table now?
I'm not going to say that it's off the table, but it might be on a back burner.
Okay.
So they're still looking at funding problems and funding issues.
With the 4-H specifically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, specifically with the 4-H. But as of now, business as usual. But
okay.
Who knows? That can change in a heartbeat. But it was a good conversation with her. And perhaps at some point in time, we may want to jointly just send her a letter of our support of the extension and 4-H fundings and things like that. It might be worth just a letter from the commission. Whatever if you gentlemen think that that's appropriate also.
I do.
Okay. All right. Now comes the fun part. See, I told you I was going to get him.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So we're all right. I got a call from Bob Bonds, who is the YDOT, head of the YDOT Advisory Committee. Commissioner Latta had been part of that in the past. So YDOT Advisory Committee will be having a meeting coming up in June again, and he called me because he said, I see that Commissioner Latta is no longer on the commission, and we'd like you guys to participate in the advisory committee. And I've been to a couple of these meetings, Tom. They're riveting.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll second the motion, Mr. Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, June.
Thank you.
So I just assumed that Commissioner Noble would be the right guy for this one. Let me give you some contact information here.
Just write that down.
Meet your old dad, Carl Hausman.
No.
Yeah. Let's see.
I'm going.
Where's the meeting here?
It's been in Jackson. The ones that I've attended have been up in Jackson at the YDOT building there. So, let's see here. His name is Bob Bonds. His phone number is 307-777-4364. And his email, it was a little muddled on the message, so you might just give him a call.
I'll call him.
And let him know that you are the new...
Max up.
Yep. You are the new representative for Sublette County on the YDOT Advisory Committee.
Just so I don't go into this blind, do I need to know something?
No.
Okay.
No, no. They're... When I was involved with it, they were working on that road to the Hoback Junction from Jackson. Mm-hmm. So they get representatives from Lincoln County, from Teton County, from Sublette County to be on that advisory committee also because it affects our counties. So
okay.
that was all there was.
And it's specific as far as any, to that project.
What's that?
It's specific.
And it's specific to that project.
And that project's still ongoing?
Oh, it's a...
Well,
it's
what
a continual,
this is
yeah.
Yes,
the mountain is always sliding.
Okay.
Coming to Hoback, and obviously it's some issues in Hoback Canyon and Snake River Canyon, too, obviously.
So your background is...
No, I'm already trying to plot my revenge.
No, that's all right. I didn't appoint. I just giggled.
Yeah. He just laughed. That's okay. These guys are getting theirs, too. So, yeah. Joel, do you remember years back where the commission agreed to put an emergency generator at the Mount Airy communication site? Bob Rules. I can't remember it either. Bob Rule contacted me and he says, well, commissioners paid for, and it's already been paid for and the work has been done, supposedly, an emergency generator. If the power goes out, the only way of communicating basically is with one radio station. Mary, do you remember any of this?
No.
Because the work is done, it's up there, the generator's up there, the propane tank's up there, it just doesn't work.
Ooh, that's new to me.
Yeah, okay, so Bob was convinced you would know.
I don't.
Maybe it wasn't the county then.
I don't know.
Is there any way to find out? I mean, do we need to call, would Dave Smith know?
He might. Do you wonder, I mean, Mount Airy, we don't have anything. As far as the county.
That could be as far as a gas company.
It could be a gas company,
it
or it could have
anybody.
Been maybe...
It could have been anyone. Bob was convinced it was the county commissioners that agreed to fund it, and it got built, and it's there. It just doesn't work.
Does he have any idea when?
He said 4 or 5 years ago, and I said, no, that's not true,
no.
Because I've been a commissioner for 6.5, and it's before my time.
Before my time, too.
Unless it had been done, maybe one of the sheriff's.
Through the sheriff's office?
They wouldn't have done it.
I don't know.
Nobody has any idea on this. How do we find out? That's what I'd just like to find out.
I'd start out with Dave Smith, because he knows everything about it, all that stuff.
Go remove it, you'll find out.
Do you want me to check Dave's calling card?
Would you talk to Dave Smith? And
you want me to do that right now?
Do it right now. That's a great idea.
Man, I don't remember that.
Well, when he came into me and says, you remember 4 or 5 years ago when the commissioners agreed to pay for this? And I said, no. And I guess it's not that it's been built, and so that means it's obviously been paid for, but it's not hooked up. When the power goes out, it doesn't come on. So,
hey, Dave, I'm in a commissioner meeting right now, and we're looking for some guidance, and we're hoping you can help us with that. Okay. We've been contacted by Bob Rule that there's a generator and a propane tank and everything up on Mount Erie. Are you aware of that? Hold on.
Put him on speaker.
And putting you on speaker, speak up.
Yeah, that's okay.
Turn it up.
I kind of expressed at that point that every time I'd seen the county buy a generator for a broadcaster, it never worked. But the decision was made to put it there. There was a little bit of discussion about putting it up at NPR. The hope was that if we had some sort of an emergency, whether it be a storm or mass casualty or what have you, that we'd have emergency radio broadcast capability to get the word out to the masses. Hey, a bridge is flooding or whatever, that sort of thing.
So
we put it in, it works, and then it has been maintained. Last time I was up there, it was out of fuel. I know Bob Rule has asked me several times to go up and look at it, but that was never the deal. The deal was never for the county to maintain it. The deal was for the county to put it in and Bob to maintain it.
What year was it done, Dave?
I don't know. I could go back and look through my records. I'm sitting out at the cell tower at the Jonah Field here looking for towers for you guys for radio sites.
Yeah. Hey, Dave.
When I get back in the office, I can find that out.
Dave, this is Andy Nelson. Would you find out all the particulars that you know about that? Who installed it? What the agreements were? Do you know if there was any kind of a contract, anything like that? And your recollection is that the county provided the equipment and it was up to KPIN to maintain it and operate it.
Right. We put it in. I put it in. The electrician put it in. We ran it. And then the next time when there was a power outage or whatever, I don't really remember the sequence of events, it didn't work like everyone had hoped, like Bob had hoped or whatever. And I went up there doing other stuff, went over and shook the propane tank. The propane tank was empty, and of course, they won't run empty on propane. But just for the record, every single instance in Wyoming that I know of with broadcasters where a government agency has put a generator in for them, they have this same problem. There's been one done in Jackson years ago. There was one done with Jim Carroll stations over in Riverton. And I believe there was another one down in Casper. And the reason it doesn't work is because everybody assumes somebody else is going to take care of stuff.
Right, exactly. If you can dig up all the information on it you can find, Dave, and get that to me, that'd be great.
I can do that. It's going to be a couple days if that's okay.
Well, there's no hurry. It hasn't been working for quite a while. Okay, gotcha. All right, thanks, Dave. You've been a wealth of information.
Okay, you guys keep up the good work. We'll talk to you later.
All right, see
you, Dave.
So, yes, I was a commissioner at that time.
And so, yes, Sheriff Langford did buy that generator for public service.
So did you just contact your source?
Yeah.
Did you?
Okay.
All right.
So I'll find out what the particulars are.
If you can, if Dave can remember anything, get all that information to me also.
Yeah.
And I'll contact Bob. Let him know. All right, you learn something new every day, don't you?
Well, yes.
That was a new one to me. I obviously signed the voucher roll.
All right. Lastly, I was contacted by the administrator of St. John's Hospital, Paul...
Beaupre. B-E-A-U-P-R-E.
Okay. I was contacted by his secretary. His secretary said that he and John... Someone?
I was thinking it was John Crenn, but I don't remember the last name.
Okay. Are going to be up here June 7th and just wanted a face-to-face good faith meeting. She extended the invitation to me and said that the invitation went out to all the commissioners here. That is right smack dab in the middle of our budget season. I think it might be just a good idea, perhaps, Dr. Burnett and myself just to meet with Paul and John when we can sneak out of here at some point that day, whether it be at lunch or maybe before our budget meeting. Budget meetings usually start at 9, right?
Yeah, and we'll be in Big Piney that day.
Oh, we're in Piney that day. Okay, they're here that day. We're in Big Piney. So I will contact his secretary and just let her know what we're doing and where we're at, and that we're open to perhaps two of us meeting with them at another time. Because we obviously won't be able to do it that day.
If it's a short meeting, we could do it at lunch.
They'd have to drive down to...
I think they're willing to accommodate us.
Okay.
I mean, I would throw that out. Okay. If they're going to be here that day, it's easier to drive down
if they want to drive
that
down
day,
to Big
drive all the way back another time.
Okay. All right. I'll contact his secretary then and let him know where we are on that day, and that perhaps you and I could just have a short meet and greet.
Yeah.
That's all I understood that it was for.
Right.
It was just a meet and shake hands and get to know you. So that was all I got on the voicemail. I didn't talk to her directly. She left a voicemail. So.
Okay. Let me know.
That's what I'll do then. I think that is all of the information I have. Let's go ahead and pay some bills. Do you have something for us here?
I'm just waiting for the liquor license.
Oh, another one.
Yeah, another one.
Dang it. We postponed that to our next meeting.
Oh, you did?
We did. Because at our next meeting, we are going to be adopting resolutions with all the liquor changes that are going to have to be made.
I do have a question. I was going to ask Mary about that.
Go ahead.
There was something, I believe it was in the newspaper the other day, where there was some talk about maybe some people that are only open part of the year were going to lose their ability to have a license. We have not been able to find anything like that in the state legislature.
Right.
So do you have an update for us on that?
What I know about that is it affects the full retail license holders.
Full retail only?
Right.
Not the malt beverage,
right.
I guess?
Right. Doesn't affect you guys or restaurant licenses. It's just the full retail people. The full retail people have to operate.
I understand.
Is what we're referring to. So they have to, even if they've got to operate once a week, is basically what the requirement is. But the commission has the ability to kind of negotiate that a little bit with them. Because
okay.
We've got a couple of full details that do take a month off.
Right.
And that type of thing. So.
Well, that's good to hear. We couldn't find anything about it, you know.
Yeah,
the
it's the full,
so.
Full retail guys.
Yeah. Good news. Now,
yeah,
when's the next meeting?
The next meeting is going to be the 6th.
6th.
June.
6th of June.
And it will be 2 o'clock in the afternoon as well.
Yeah, sorry you made the effort to come in and we didn't have that ready.
Well, I went to the dump anyway. So.
Okay, good. That's good.
Thank you.
You bet.
Do you
want to
talk to
Dave? Sure.
Because he'll talk to you.
All right. Let's talk to him while we're stamping. Thank you.
Say hi. So we're in the commissioners meeting, and the question had come to Andy concerning the generator that was put up on Mount Airy, and what if there was any agreement or contract or anything to go along with that. We've talked to Dave Smith. He basically told us that the county, that during your term, the county bought the generator, bought the tank, and that was all we did. Anyway, I'm going to put you up on the speaker so the commissioners can hear, okay?
Dave agreed to maintain
it. Okay.
Yeah, I got him. I'll get him.
Hang on.
Did you disconnect
him? I just
he'll be used to that.
I pushed the wrong button.
Won't be the first time his wife hung up on him.
Sorry, I just pushed the wrong button.
See if you can get him to maintain it.
Okay, here we go.
Are you there, Dave?
Yeah, the generator was put up there as a public service thing so that in the event that we lost power or something, we'd still be enabled to put out messages over the radio on emergency situations because they did not have a way to communicate with the public.
Right, okay. Do you remember who did the work on that?
I think Dave Smith did the work on it. He was the one that supervised it.
Okay, he supervised it. Do you know remember who the electrician was?
I do not, Andy.
Okay. Dave Smith thought perhaps it was Intermountain Electric. I don't think he really could remember either. Do you remember there was no contract with that?
Not that I recall.
Okay.
In regards to what?
Who did the work? Who paid for it? Who maintained it?
We paid for it, and with it.
Yep.
And it's our generator. So.
So is it our responsibility to make sure it works and runs?
Or is it? I would think so.
Or is it KPIN?
I think it would be more ours from the fact of. You know, so we are in it, so we know that it's up and doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Okay. All right. I think that's all the information I need. I'll give you a holler if I think of something else.
Okay, sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
So it sounds to me like it perhaps is our responsibility.
Sounds that way.
Or we uninstall it.
Or we uninstall
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Or we say, here it is, you guys figure out how it works.
There you go.
As a public service, though, it does make sense to have it. Because you can't get the car radio.
Yeah, you.
If you don't have power, you still get your car.
If your emergency preparedness kit is complete, you've got a battery-powered radio or a hand crank radio.
Or your car.
Yeah, you get in your car and you listen. Yeah. All right. Well, what are your thoughts on this, gentlemen? I guess I'm inclined to make sure it works and runs and maintain it.
I agree.
Who would be responsible for that, Andre? In terms of...
I think we would have one of our contract guys do it.
Yeah.
We'd probably have
Dave Smith do it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Dave's got a good handle on it.
Well, perhaps, Tom, why don't you talk to Dave then? And just ask him to... see what the deal is with it, make sure it's in running order, and maintain it once a year.
Get it running.
Yep.
What if it's out of hand? Do we need to know? I think we ought to know.
If it's something that's out of hand, let us know. Yeah. If it's a matter of filling the propane tank and greasing the bearings and things like that, get it done.
We'll try and put some light to it.
Okay.
Would there be a way to test that? And I don't mean test how to run it. Test how to hook that up with Bob Rule, that you know you hear the emergency test every once on the radio.
Yeah,
So what it does, what it is supposed to do, is if power goes off, it is supposed to automatically kick on, and his radio station is continually aired. Now, there is, he tells me there is, up there in the site building itself, there's a microphone and a mixer. And so if somebody walks through that door, they slide the mic one slider up, and you can start talking on that microphone.
Really?
From that building.
So I'm going to add another can of worms. You know me, we now have 104.
We have what?
Now we have radio station 104. So is there any chance they can tie into the same generator? We're going to provide a service. Why should we do it for?
Yeah,
it
that
comes out of state. It's not even local at all.
I don't think they have a site.
So they're...
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
But I think if... Yeah. Yeah, that's right. They don't even have a site up there. They've got a translator.
Okay. That's all.
It's impossible to get them programmed correctly.
Let's start writing down because I'm not
you know
sure
that?
If I owe
okay,
you
yep.
or you owe me.
I didn't want to talk about
I
that.
Can't keep
yeah, thank you very much.
Well, I said we could have an annual.
Could you hand that down to Dave?
Good.
Here, Dave.
Yeah?
Oh. Oh, yeah.
As the afternoon goes on, Joel, you're losing more and more of that.
Yeah, I'm getting worse instead of better.
Is your throat sore?
No,
you just don't have any voice.
Just don't have any voice?
Sure.
Do you know how to get that to him, Jim?
Should I email it to him? Should I email it to him? Or should
scan
I
it,
to
scan it and email it.
Okay.
So,
yeah. I can contact him and see how he wants it. Okay, because I can.
So the next bit of fun we're going to be having here is budget, gentlemen.
Okay.
Is there some homework we should know about?
And that starts on June 6th, Monday.
Starts Monday the 5th.
Monday the, yeah, so 2 weeks. Okay. Or is there 3 weeks?
3 weeks. We got 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks before we get to it.
Typically, I will schedule hearings through those 3 days that we do it. We may have some hearings even if we've got some time on Tuesday or on a regular meeting. Just depends.
I know we're on some tight schedules, so just go ahead and book us up as late as we need to, and I'll schedule accordingly.
Okay.
I mean,
do we get preliminary information, pre-budget?
Well, and that's what I wanted to talk to you guys about. I'll tell you what I typically do, and part of it is I will give you copies of everything. So we're talking a pretty good pile of paper by the time we get done.
Mm-hmm.
And our biggest problem is you keeping your paper straight and not losing them.
Don't mix them up.
So, I schedule enough time that we can look at stuff at the table with the applicant. I will go through the general fund budgets with you,
she'll
you and I.
Line item by line item through that.
So that is, you know, that's... my budget, the treasurer, whatever. You'll have a hearing with the sheriff's office. You'll have a hearing with Butch. You'll have a hearing with fire. And like I said before, you'll have a hearing with anybody I can't get along with. And the boards. You'll hear from the nonprofits. And that's about it. But I usually give you those applications at the table then.
When will the Discover Center come back?
They'll be through during budget week. Yeah.
What about that?
But he'll come. We'll probably have him again because we're still trying to do this lease. And yeah.
Special district board?
Nope. We don't see them.
We don't?
Nope.
That's not the legislation to pass.
Still trying to figure
they
that out.
They still don't. They report to the state. We get their budgets. They have to submit their budget to Department of Audit by the 1st of June. So those come here, but you have no hearing. You have no say over them.
Right.
We have no hearing. We have no
oversight.
That's
not what they just passed.
No.
Nope. Sure. Okay. What did they just pass?
Reporting to the state.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're privy to their budget. We just don't have a say.
Good. So, regarding healthcare district, we have no say so in levying up to 2 mils. I thought the statute said that up to 2 mils could be levied. We don't. There's no determination.
They determine up to 2 mils.
They do.
Not us.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the way the statute reads.
Same as we passed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as we go through the process, what happens with special districts is they submit their budget to electronically to the state. We also have access to that because we post their hearings on our website, and because they go through the hearing process the same way we do. Once they have finished their process, which will be in the middle of July, then they'll notify us with their resolutions that they've adopted their budget. Then the first meeting in August, we will set the levies for all the taxing entities.
So they don't, what do they have to do with regards to their preliminary budget? That's just with the state?
They do their preliminary budget. They have to, they have some publication requirements like we do.
Yeah.
They have to hold a public hearing.
Idea is to be done Thursday at noon.
Yeah,
please.
Can yeah. And can
what I got on my schedule.
So can I schedule patients like at 5 o'clock on the days we meet, or what do you think?
It's got it. There it is.
I think so.
Okay.
What I'll do. I'm going to get them scheduled this week.
Sure.
I can promise you I'll get them scheduled next week.
That's fine. That's plenty of time in advance.
And then I'll let you know what your days are running like.
Yeah, if you can get me kind of a preliminary schedule, then I can just
make sure I schedule accordingly at
yeah.
my place.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was hiding.
Oh. Okay, I got some flyers here for you.
These WPLI flyers, we have them available on my counter.
Mm-hmm.
Going out to stay with the county, of course. So
good.
Yeah. Carpal tunnel, look at work is done. Hey, I signed my own. So Mary, I'll look and see if I can sign that other one.
I'm gonna hold my voucher. I'll sort out what we gotta do.
Oh, the one for
yeah.
the
yeah, and I'll check mine too when I get home.
Oh,
I added mine.
Mary, did you? Our rooms and
I paid for you
Casper
I don't
and
know.
Gillette.
Well, I don't know if I paid for the Casper ones. I know I did the Gillette ones.
I thought it said credit on there, but
it
apparently
did.
He had credit but got charged anyway.
Yeah.
So
when I checked out, it said balance due zero, but it was not my credit card number.
Yeah.
It must have been yours.
And that's what I thought it was.
It was unusual,
so just keep it
double down.
If we got charged,
yeah.
then just...
You guys check your stuff to make
yeah.
see if you've got anything. I'll check mine.
I added my credit card
okay.
bill to that, so you can look at
okay.
it. Maybe
okay.
Just that shows that I...
Yeah.
Gee, I'm sure glad I didn't go to Gillette.
I'm too, because I couldn't report it another
you
couldn't report it one more.
You broke the clerk.
On Mary's card.
On yeah. my card.
I copied that card number.
Yeah, you better not.
All we need is a title.
You're already in trouble. Where's the leather seats?
I'm going to put that in the book.
Oh, we had fun.
I can tell you.
Yeah, when that it's email coming. Or when that text came through from you, I just laughed.
We had the oldest car in Gillette.
I knew what was going on.
Well, good for you.
But at least you weren't driving a Prius.
At least you weren't driving a Prius. Campbell County got a big old honking black.
My brother County was driving one of ours, and it was updated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was newer than the one we got. That
it was probably one we gave to them.
It
yeah.
was.
It was.
It was.
Absolutely.
And they reiterated their gratitude.
You know, every meeting you go to, they tell us that. I mean,
they did this time, too.
If you can.
In fact, after Tom left us, they gave me and Mac a ride back to the hotel.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you can't help your neighbors, we're in the wrong business.
Yeah.
Motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Are we going to stay here with you
yeah,
for class 101?
Yep.
I'll give you my keys.
I might be 10 minutes.
What's that? That's
all
right.
15 minutes.
This is we.
Mm-hmm. You and I.
Okay.
Yeah, it might take you a little longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have a remediation book for me?
Oh, I got to go see if I can get my computer back. I haven't even got it and never brought it back.
Get your bullets back,
y'all. Yeah, it's... I think it's
only rested.
Oh.